Welcome to The Wild Hunt. We are an unofficial podcast having a casual conversation about the History Channel television series Vikings. We are No Ship Network. I am your host, Em.
And I'm Steve.
And I'm Paul.
If you want to be a part of the conversation, you can reach us at our website at noship.net. Go ahead and click on our contact page, and there's the various means that you can reach us by, such as our Twitter page, our Facebook page, and our Gmail account. Just keep in mind that since this is a season we're covering retroactively, the feedback is going to be a little bit different. It might not be as timely as the last or season two. If you want to support us, the best way is to rate and or review us on iTunes, or you can share us on your Facebook or Twitter pages. Okay, thank you for joining us today. We are discussing Vikings Season 1, Episode 2, which is titled Wrath of the Northmen. It's also, like last episode, directed by Johan Renck and written by Michael Hurst.
Johan.
Any thoughts on this episode before we get started?
Nope.
It was good.
I guess I wasn't too good, though, was it?
No, I'm good. I'm out.
I don't have shit to say about this.
It's our first taste of, like, you know, them actually
first taste
fighting
of
together.
Stan.
Yeah, and some monk.
I like this episode because it's the first episode you get a little bit of the taste of Viking life and culture in their environment. Then you get, in the second episode, the Vikings, as the rest of the world knows them, as kind of like a stereotype, mm-hmm. You know, the raiding Northmen. So,
plus, you know, it's the full travel scene with them not knowing if they're going to make it, the dissension in the group. And I mean, it's pretty cool. It's not just them chugging along across the ocean, you know.
Rollo continuing to support his brother despite the dissension.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it was, I didn't expect, of course, now I've seen this episode like three times, but I didn't expect them to move so fast. I didn't expect them to be, you know, raiding into England in the second episode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that was a pleasant surprise.
Okay, so episode opens with Ragnar and Rollo meeting up to arrive at Eric's house and to meet with some other men. These men do not know why they have been gathered there. Ragnar tells them about the boat and his plans to raid lands to the west. There are some naysayers in the group as well as reminders of Earl Haraldson's orders. Ragnar deftly handles them and promises them riches. Then he challenges them by asking if they got the balls to join them. Ragnar singles out Knut and asks if he is coming.
Is that the little piss face guy? He's got like the Bjorn haircut.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a beard.
He's the only one who doesn't immediately raise his hand and mm-hmm. say, yeah, well, not, they don't all immediately do it, but everybody else is just kind of gung-ho about it after a fashion. But Knut is just kind of standing back there being standoffish.
See, when he asked them if obvious. Y'all have the balls to go, they should have all just pulled their balls out. And he probably wouldn't have done it, and then they would have known that he wasn't going to go right off the bat.
Yeah, that would definitely single him out and...
Yeah, because you could tell just it's the casting again that comes through on this because you could tell he's the weasel, you know, just by his look.
Well, he convinces Ragnar his interest by saying he wants to have good stories to tell his children, and
how about the time Ragnar whipped your ass?
Yeah,
and then Ragnar tells everyone that before leaving to not tell anyone who does not need to know. That means you, Knut.
This seems pretty significant because it's the first glimpse you get of Ragnar as a leader.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the whole time he's telling everybody he just wants to be a farmer and he just wants to have good land to farm and be left alone and stuff like that. But there's more to the story. Mm-hmm. You know, there's more to him than that.
Well,
and
that
this is where it starts to come out.
Yeah, he's willing to go behind the Earl's back. I'm going to do it anyway.
So next scene at the Haraldson dining table. Their spy, his name is Ólafur. This is the... guy that started the douche beard raiding.
DVR.
Yeah. Yep. So he reports back to them about the meeting. He asks if they need to know. So he reports to the Earl that Ragnar and some men had a meeting, and he asks the Earl if they need to show Ragnar and his men the axe. Earl Haraldson says that they need to watch and wait, that it's too soon to, you know, meet them with violence, probably because... they already have all this support, like Ragnar, and if he were to mm-hmm. do something like that, it wouldn't work in the Earl's favor, I'm thinking. And this is where Siggy says, all good things come from watching and waiting. And she says it suggestively towards Ólafur. And then Earl Haraldson jumps up from the table and whispers in his ear, were you looking at my wife? And then he asks, have you slept with her? And Olafur swears he has not. Earl Haraldson gives his permission for Olafur to sleep with his wife.
He does the turnaround. What, is she not hot?
Yeah. You know,
were you touching my ass?
That's exactly what I was going to bring up. I was going to bring up that scene from Zoolander. He's like, did you just grab my ass? No, sir, I didn't grab your ass. He's like, well, if you want to, it's okay. You're just barking up the wrong tree.
He calls someone long distance. Were you just grabbing my ass?
He says like his aide or something was like, Johnson called from Miami. He said it was physically impossible for him to just have grabbed your ass.
So Ragnar arrives home and
Hold on. Before we go away from the scene, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. I've noticed something about what Siggy says, like anytime, just about anytime she says anything, especially to her husband, it's counterintuitive. It's almost as if the exact opposite is true, either for that episode or for things in general. Whatever advice she gives, at least in this season, I don't know about next, like the second season, I'd have to go back and watch him again. But I started noticing this during the first three episodes. Every time she's whispering in his ear, it's bullcrap. What did she just tell him? All good things come from, or good things come from watching and
waiting.
She
says that to Olafur. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. Well, the exact opposite is true because Ragnar is going, I'm not going to stop and watch and wait. I'm going to go and do.
Yeah.
And he's the successful one. And there's another incident on the next podcast that I'll bring up too, where she's completely wrong again. So
I have to pay attention to that. I didn't
realize like you can go back and watch it. And whatever Siggy is saying, the opposite is going to happen.
Okay. So, I look forward to your further examples of this.
Yeah, hopefully I'm not just full of crap and it wasn't just these two times, but it's at least these two times, so there's something there.
So Ragnar arrives home. Lagertha wants to know, when do they sail?
Bitch, no, I'm kidding.
He's like, there's no we here.
Yeah.
He does not want her to come, and he explains why. She's not happy. And then Ragnar taunts her. Oh, she also says in her dreams they are always together. I just wanted to mention that. And then Ragnar taunts her by saying, all right, fine, you go, I stay.
Damn it.
So we cut to Olafur actually about to sleep with Siggy, which has been arranged by Earl Haraldson. She pretends to be interested and gets on top of him, only to start punching him in the face.
Yeah, you work for this guy. You know he's a D-bag.
Yeah.
Why would you fall for this?
See, I wonder if they tested Svein this way.
No, they would have had to have some kids around, you know?
Well, then he would have failed the test. See,
that's true.
Oh, that's true. I didn't think about that.
He wouldn't have... Apparently he didn't get tested, or he would not
Or he just said, no, I do not want to sleep with her.
Seriously.
That's so gross.
I do not.
As you can see, she is a woman. So this was definitely a test.
Yeah, it turns out it was all a test, a trust test.
Mm-hmm. Or they're into killing people that want to sleep with his wife.
Siggy's hot. Like, I wouldn't... You lose a lot of men, you know, I think in the process. So that would be kind of a... It's just a weird test.
I think it's a trust test. I think it's a test of to see if, you know, this person can be trusted with something more down the road.
Yeah.
Because he's got... Earl Haraldson has bigger plans. He realizes that there's a big-time potential rival in Ragnar Lothbrok. So they...
Svein takes Olafur outside and repeatedly stabs him to death while looking him in the eyes.
Such a vile little worm of a man, this Svein.
I meant to look up the actor's name.
Yeah, whoever the actor is. Yeah, we're going to look this up. We're going to know before we do the next podcast. But this actor deserves a lot of credit. Are you going to look it up now?
Yeah, I can do it while we talk. It's cool.
So meanwhile, back at Ragnar's house, Lagertha is letting him have it. I think he gets up and he just woken up or something and he's just kind of groggy, stumbling out. And she just nails him in the face with the shield.
Foreplay.
And he falls down and she says, get up. Start fighting back. She wants to know, is she not good enough for him? Is she not strong enough for him? She says, do not forget, I saved your life. And Bjorn breaks up the fight.
I know, like, he's like the parent in the house.
He is.
You know?
He's like, stop fighting. What are you doing?
All right, so the actor that played Svein is David Pierce.
That's right.
I think we're following him on Twitter.
That's an awfully Western name for such a Eastern-looking actor.
Oh, by the way, Catherine Winnick's from Canada. I didn't say that last time, so I wanted to Siggy and Haraldsson discuss the betrayal of Ólafur. They talk about the prevalence of their enemies.
And she's like soaking her wounded fists because she was really punching him. Like her, she could tell her knuckles are all bruised or inflamed or something because she's got the water in the rag.
But she says she was surprised that he did that, right? Wasn't she?
Yeah. She was surprised that he would take the bait.
And
they were so proud of themselves.
I thought she had a little bit of remorse. I
kind of sensed that too.
Yeah.
I did.
Nah, I don't believe it. Siggy has no heart.
So, yeah, they talk about the prevalence of their enemies, and she says their enemies are everywhere, and he says everywhere, and she says their enemies cannot prevail. So the men are loading the boat. Ragnar approaches Floki from behind and puts a knife to his neck. He wants to know where is the anchor. Floki says it will come, and he knows that the blacksmith will not talk because Floki has made threats toward the blacksmith's daughter. Which, you know, that's a pretty dark, dark gray area, Floki there.
Well, you know, we've already seen him. He's a little crazy, so.
But he was laughing and smiling about it. I don't think he actually intended to hurt the blacksmith's daughter.
No,
I think there's a scene of contrast going on here between the way that Ragnar and his group do things and the way that the Earl and his group do things. Because we see a couple of scenes later what actually happens with, you know, we'll get to that scene when we get to it. But in this scene, he's holding up a lock of hair and he was using it as a threat. And yeah, that guy was scared for the life of his daughter, so he produced what he was supposed to do.
Well, some dude just came and cut a lock of his daughter's hair.
Right. But I honestly, and I could be way off base here and you guys could disagree, but I honestly don't think Floki had any intention of actually hurting her.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I think if he had turned on Ragnar and them, I think he would have done it. I really do.
I think he knew that was enough insurance, and he wasn't. He knew he wouldn't have to.
It's that wild card in Floki, man. You're just not sure if he's willing to, you know, pull that trigger.
Maybe it was just a huge gamble. He was banking on the idea of the fear of, like, maybe taking her locket of hair and giving it to some sort of, like,
he could have just threatened magician. Her. He didn't have to take the hair. That's where the line
that's
gets
creepy. You
well,
know?
That's the part.
Especially
because
he has it on him still. He could have put it in his hut and is just like, I'll kill her.
That's the part that does make it creepy and it makes it very Floki. So it's like, you know.
He might not have. We hope he wouldn't. But the locket of hair just kind of gives me the thinking of, well, maybe, you know, he's going to cross the line.
But I also think it's showing, like I said, the contrast before, there's subtlety and imagination to it, whereas the way Earl Haraldsson handles things is very ham-fisted and direct.
He would have killed the daughter ahead of time.
Exactly, and then said, so did you do this or not? Because I already killed your daughter because I thought you did it, so. Yeah. Well, if you didn't do it, just make sure you don't do it again. Sorry.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
So Ragnar notices that Canute is not in attendance. Ragnar says this troubles him, and Floki says they live in a sea of troubles, which I think is mirroring the conversation that Siggy and the Earl talked about their enemies being everywhere. And this is when the anchor is finally delivered with a angry duo of father and daughter. And they show up. They both have those looks on their face.
Why bring your daughter? This guy's threatened.
Well, Floki gives her hair back, right?
I think so, yeah. Here you go.
You're safe now.
You can put it back in with a weave.
Okay, so next scene. Floki's slave girl is administering the bowl of water to each man for their pre-journey ritual. And Rollo eyes her a bit. That's an interesting pre-journey ritual.
Yeah, because they're putting the water on their face, and it's ritualistic, like you said, because it can't be all that refreshing, point one, because you're not using a lot of water, and point two, by the time you get to the second guy, there's snot in the water.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, I guess it's just kind of like a brotherhood bonding thing.
Yeah, sharing. Yeah. Almost like sharing a bath without having to sit in one, maybe, you know, it's gross.
Or put
it's probably seawater. It's probably seawater.
We hope there's some salt or something in there.
Yeah. I mean, because it actually makes me think of the Ironborn, like their ritual where they have the drowning. Where Theon's from in Game of Thrones, they don't go into it in the show, but they have their religious belief. I think they're kind of based on Vikings, not necessarily Scandinavians, but Vikings. Yeah. And they have a ritual where they, it's like their baptism, where they actually physically drown each other and they're resuscitated. And if you survive, you've been blessed, basically.
And if you don't, Just a second too long.
God wanted to keep you. You know?
Yeah, I think that's what it is, isn't that?
The drowned God wants to keep you.
Keep you. Okay, so we next see Rollo seek out the slave girl, and then he rapes her.
All right, here we got another DBR.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Douche braid rating of 10 here, Rollo. This is bad news. This is where you really start to like it. Because I think in the first episode, I liked him in the first episode. And I know that
a couple comments to LaGartha and all that.
Right. Know. Okay. I'll say I liked him in the first 50% of the first episode. And then this you just take a complete 180 and you're just like, wow. Because, I mean, this is actual rape. This isn't some.
Well, his character—it just shows
Jamie and Cersei crap. This is actual rape.
It shows the writing on the show. You know, it's really well done because they mess with you on just Rollo's character, and then everything's done so eloquently. You know.
So Floki is putting his makeup on as preparation, and then Rollo leaves his victim and heads out like nothing just happened to meet up with the rest of the guys on the boat.
I was liking Rollo up until this point, and then I just really started not liking him.
Yeah, exactly. You know? You start to waver quick. It's like, oh, man, his brother, you think his brother's going to be a liability, you know, if he's willing to do that. But then things happen, you know, and it's just really well done.
So Knut tells the Earl that Ragnar and his men have set sail. He says, good, they will never be seen or heard from again. And then Knut kind of says, well, what if they actually make it? I don't remember what's that.
I kill you.
On the boat, it is noon. Rollo and Ragnar check their position using the sun bowl. I have sun owl.
That would be a lot cooler.
Yeah, that would be. LaGartha tells the tale of Jormungand and Thor. On the boat, there is a storm, and they need to take down the sail. They all work to prepare the ship for the storm as the waves and the rain batter the ship. They make themselves shelter with a sail, and then they begin to row.
These guys are badass. I'm just going to say, because I wouldn't have handled the situation nearly as well. I would have freaked out, started cursing, you know, it would have just been like, shut them up, bullshit.
Yeah,
I would have been a terrible Viking. On land, I'd been fine, but...
On the sea with no sight of land.
And then not knowing if you're going to survive. I mean, that does take a serious set of nuts because nobody's done it, you know.
That's one of the reasons why they were so tough,
mm-hmm.
you know, opponents, because they had to be so strong and resistant to things like travels like that. And then they're also very driven because in order to want to take that trip and put themselves through that strenuous task, it's because they don't have the farmland. It's pretty much there's no choice.
In those small boats, too. You know, it's not like you're in a ship where you can stretch out and sleep in a hammock or anything. I mean, you're cramped.
Well, apparently they would bring, each of them would have their own trunk that they would bring. And that trunk would actually act as the seat they would sit on when they were rowing. Yeah. So in their trunk would have all their change of clothes that they would bring that the Irish women liked about them. Because, anyway, that's...
Huh. Where did they poop?
Off the side of the boat.
Maybe they had chamber pots and they would just dump it over.
Why would you have a chamber pot? You're over the ocean. Poop in the ocean.
I think trying to shit off the side of the boat, especially when the waves are really kicking, that would be difficult.
When it's time to go, it's time to go. Well, I'm sure they weren't sitting there reading a newspaper. It was probably like, okay, I need to hit the rail for a second or the back of the boat and let a deuce go. These guys are pretty badass and tough. You don't want to be the guys taking too long. Everybody's like, because you don't... Position on the boat would be important because they're all rowing and doing stuff. You don't want it to flat back in. You know, I think you'd have to go to the end of the boat and just get it over with and done.
There'd have to be a designated spot.
It'd be like pooping in jail, kind of. You know what I mean? It's like you don't want all these guys watching you poop. And these guys are the kind of person to beat you up and throw you overboard. So I'm sure it was a quick poop. You can't get in the water and do it. And you're on a long voyage. I mean, this is just logistics.
I wouldn't shit over the side of the boat.
You're a girl.
I almost would wonder if they changed their diets before or at least during the trip to include a lot of fiber. That way their shits were just solid and quick.
I wonder if there's any record on this. No, it's curious. I mean, it's a curious thing. Peeing would be easy. But pooping, I mean, this is something that has to happen. And how long did the voyages take? A couple weeks?
Probably like a week and a half.
I mean, maybe. Maybe that's why the Vikings were so badass. They didn't poop at all, and by the time they got to England, they were just angry.
They shot him out and used him as ballistics.
Well, I mean, I would be pretty angry of a week and a half.
They're killing everybody because they're trying to get to the restroom.
Exactly.
You're in the way.
the English come over off the beach, and they're all just lined up. Can you give us 5 minutes? No, I mean, it's got to be off the side. Well, I guess a chamber pot, but then what are you going to do with a chamber pot in cramped quarters like that? Gross.
You rinse it over the side of the boat.
Dip
it in.
I'm thinking like a dude, man, maybe. I don't know. Just make him poop off the edge.
That's anyway, risky.
Some poops don't rinse easy. You got to think about this.
Well, okay. How are you going to deal with that over the side of the boat?
It just goes.
Yeah, but it's splashing all over you.
Mm-mm. You're off the railing. It's like a foot and a half up off the water.
And if you got wind blowing as well, it's just going to direct the...
Off the back of the boat. You'd have to go to the very back. I don't know. I'm going to look this up and find out because I'm curious now.
Why are we still talking about
it? Yeah, you're just making work for yourself. None of this is going to be on the podcast.
No. Oh, you got to leave a little bit of it
in. I'll leave some of it, but story.
But they definitely need to be discussed because it is a pretty valid fact that they do have to poop on the ocean.
Okay. Okay, so next we see some manuscripts being illuminated by a monk. And this is Athelstan that we're being introduced here to. And he and his other monks, they hear lightning. The Vikings face the storm. Floki is raving about Thor. He says Thor is celebrating that Thor loves his boat. And Ragnar is amused, and he tells Floki to sit down.
Because remember, he can't swim.
That's right.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, he tells him. He's like, remember, you can't swim.
So the monks fearfully peer outside at the storm. In the stormy night, on the water, they see what looks like a serpent in the sky. This worries them. Athelstan seeks out Father Cuthbert to tell him what they saw. Then they argue over this. Father Cuthbert tells him to go back to his room. And apparently this was true, that the monks at Lindisfarne historically did see some sort of portents before the Vikings came.
I like this little scene because Athelstan is talking about the scene from Revelations, where the beast with seven heads is coming out of the water and mm-hmm. everything like that. And he's like, this is the end times. You know, God is punishing us for our sin and iniquity and stuff like that. And I thought it was kind of not funny, ha-ha, but funny in a cool kind of way, because everybody thinks they're living in the end times all the time. It's never been any different throughout human history. We all think we're on the precipice of apocalypse or Armageddon or what have you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Everybody in every age has always thought that, and they did back then, and we do now. So it's kind of a cool continuum.
So the next scene, we have the Earl Haraldson confronting the blacksmith, and it's a terrible scene.
Yeah.
This is that contrast I was talking about, you know, where Floki had a lock of hair, and he was creepy, but kind of creative and subtle, and not subtle, I guess is the wrong word, but different in a way. He manipulated this person to get what he wanted to get done. Now, Earl Haraldson is just...
Well, plus he was paying him, too. It's not like he just manipulated him. I mean, right, they gave him money. Yeah. He was just worried that this was going
to
happen.
He's trying to ensure his silence, mm-hmm. you know, and then here's the Earl using blunt force and lies mm-hmm. and, you know...
Used his daughter against him.
Yeah. Just being an evil bastard.
It's awful.
So back on the boat, after the storm has abated, so has some of the Vikings' confidence. One man in particular starts saying that Loki is responsible for tricking them onto this journey. They are doomed, essentially, is what he's saying. This man is told to shut up and sit down, and he responds by saying that he is not the one who convinced all these men to come along and sacrifice their lives. He's told to sit down multiple times, and he keeps on ranting. Ragnar dispatches him to the afterlife. Ragnar then says, yeah, I made light of that. Okay. So yeah, Ragnar gets up, walks slowly toward him, and he knifes him in the neck.
This was pretty brutal, actually.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't have just choked him out to where you, like, make the guy pass out. And then when he wakes up, be like, all right, look, get your head screwed on straight. We need you rowing. We need you here to kill for the loot and plunder. He just kills him.
Yeah. And nobody really...
Yeah, you see Arne just sitting there, just scratching his, like, stubble, like, staring, like, huh.
Makes you wonder how long it had been going on. Maybe he had been doing it for a couple of days, and everybody's just sick of his shit.
Yeah.
Somebody just stabbed this motherfucker in the neck.
Well, I guess they don't all know each other that well, because Not all of them, because when the initial meeting, when Ragnar walked up to Canute, he said, "What is your name?" Like, so they don't even, some of them are probably not even on first name basis. And maybe, you know, if it had been somebody else like Eric or Rollo who had been raving, or, you know, maybe the knife wouldn't have come out so quickly.
Or true. Yeah. Or it could have also been that, you know, there's things that you can pass over and things that you can say, okay, this person's just stressed, they're dehydrated, they're tired, you know, they're exhausted. Yeah. But then there's other things where you cross a line. You're a liability. This guy is not going to help us when we get off the boat. And then if we have to take him all the way back, you know, it's just going to be a problem.
Ragnar then says to release the ravens. He actually tells Rollo to do it. If the birds do not return, it means there is land. The birds return, so they think, but they turn out to be seagulls, and the men cheer excitedly. So the monks sing.
This is the Lindisfarne Barbershop Quartet, headed by Athelstan.
Played by George Blagden, and he has a really pretty voice, actually.
He's just pretty all around.
He is pretty.
I don't really care for the monk haircut. Once he gets past that stage, it's nice.
Well, you know why they did that? Monk haircuts.
Why is that?
To they consider themselves kind of like the not, I don't know if it's like the
servants,
servants of Jesus Christ, and then the top shave like that is to represent the crown of thorns that Jesus had on the cross.
Oh. Huh. Well, did it represent the crown of thorns because it was painful to remove it, or was it?
It's just the visual. The symbolic part to it, because a lot of different religions have shaved heads for different types of reasons, and it's usually just like humility.
I was just wondering what's the deal with the top of the head, because like women, you know, weren't allowed to wear or go hatless for a long time, even up into your mom's childhood. Like, they had to wear hats in church.
Yeah, the habits. Men,
all women. They couldn't go into at least a Catholic church without wearing a hat. Like, it was profane or something.
I've never understood that. Why that is, like, what the,
like,
what
men
the,
could
no yeah you, yeah men aren't allowed to wear hats in Catholic churches. It's different,
but women had to.
It's insulting. My brother got chewed out at a church in Europe because he wore a hat and the priest destroyed him and then yelled at my mom, and then my mom really got a hold of my brother.
Well, then you've got, like, and that was at a Catholic church.
No, a Catholic, like, cathedral. I mean, it was like massive church.
Then you've got Jewish faith, you know, they wear yarmulkes. So that's kind of like, I mean, there's something on top of the head rather than it being bald. But
And it's the same, but it's circular, like it's the
definitely spot. Doesn't have anything to do with Jesus. So we're good there.
Right, yeah, we're good there.
But I know for sure that that's what the shaved part of the monks are for. Because we used to have a monastery near my grandfather's where we would go get goat cheese and stuff like that. And I asked my mom when I was a kid. She told me not to ask the monks. Because I was going to.
Don't talk to them.
Well, some of them, you know, took vows of silence and stuff, but it was still pretty cool. They had really good cheese.
It'd be cool to be living near some monks.
Yeah, they had all kinds of stuff. It was a good location that my grandfather's house was at.
So the Vikings prepare themselves on the beach for the raid. They head toward the monastery. Arne sets to dismantling the gate. The monks pray. The Vikings walk through the breach gates, and the Vikings hear the monks praying, and they burst into the room, and Rollo immediately sets to killing.
Yeah.
And they don't ask questions or anything. It's just like, you're all going to die.
The other Vikings join in. Ragnar calls to Leif, and they walk outside.
Leif?
Which one's Leif?
I don't remember Leif.
It wasn't Eric, right?
Leif Garrett?
Yeah, because there's another guy named Leif.
That's Leif.
It might be Leif.
It's awesome. Figured I'd get reprimanded.
Was it Leif Erikson? What did you say?
There's Ryan Leif, football player. But
What's the guy that covered Smells Like Teen Spirit on the Melvins?
Leif Erikson. Or Leif. Garrett.
Right.
Erikson. Well, I don't know. It's like, if you look at it, you would pronounce it Leif. But apparently I've heard him talk, and he's corrected people and says it's Leif.
Quit trying to church it up.
Yeah.
So the Vikings begin to search elsewhere. Rollo finds a monk hiding in a box, and there's some stench that comes out of the box.
Yeah, I think that monk shat himself.
I was wondering. Because
he's disgusted. He's just like, oh, he even throws down his axe.
I thought it might have been some kind of outhouse type box, you know, or where they take the chamber pots and pour it out, you know?
Oh, yeah, that could be it, too.
That's a rank, not just pooping yourself. I mean, he had, like, full disgust on
it. Yeah, because it was like he was assaulted with some serious smell.
And then thinking somebody was hiding in it.
Yeah.
Don't mind me.
So he beats them to death in pure disgust, yeah. So Ragnar, Leif, and Eric find religious artifacts. Ragnar finds Athelstan. Athelstan can speak the Viking language. This intrigues Ragnar. Athelstan begs him not to kill him. Ragnar wants to know what is in Athelstan's hand, and it's the Bible. Ragnar wants to know why he chose to save the Bible above the other things in this place. Athelstan says, without the world of God, there is only darkness.
So Ragnar's already showing good leadership qualities here because he's curious about things. Mm-hmm. He's looking for potentials and opportunities. He's not just indiscriminately slaughtering.
Yeah, he's not doing the Rolo.
Yeah, in people. So there's a pretty good contrast between him and his brother there. One of them really is just the Viking berserker, and the other one is thinking about stuff. And
Rolo and the others arrive where Ragnar is, and Rolo says there are no women, just these strange men.
Yeah, he's kind of curious about the fact that there's no women. There's no women here. What the hell are they doing?
Now, Rolo wants to kill Athelstan immediately. Ragnar forbids it, and this enrages Rolo.
Tell me what to do.
He says, I forbid it. And he says, well, if we're equals, how can you forbid me anything, little brother? So there's our confirmation that Rolo is the actual older brother. Answering our own question from last episode.
Flóki is doing his own searching. He discovers paper. He discovers that it is also flammable. So he sets scrolls on fire.
A little bit of the pyromaniac in Flóki in this one. You can see it in his eyes. He's a firebug. He's just like, ooh, wow. Look at that.
He's like that dude from The Stand.
Murdoch.
Oh, yeah. Burning old lady Semple's pension check.
So they leave a burning Lindisfarne behind. They have their treasures and newly captured slaves in tow. They head back out into the water and onto home. Athelstan and the other monks are freezing. And that's the end. Okay, we're moving into the spoiler section, so we're going to play some music, so make sure you turn off your device if you don't want to.
If you haven't watched season 2, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Or the rest of season 1. Anyway, so.
I'm totally going to give stuff away, starting now. All I really had on the Rolo comment from earlier that I had to truncate because of the spoilerificness of it was that as much as I ended up liking him in the second half of season 2 is as much as I don't like him now. He's the character that has the most just roller coastery
nice
kind of up and down. So hopefully he stays up.
Absolutely. You know? I liked about the rewatching it again, you really notice how they dress the actors, you know, like Ragnar and them. They're actually wearing poorer clothes than they are in the second season. And I didn't really notice it until last night. And it was just awesome. You know, I started really loving everything that they had done with the scenery and the small things, you know, because Ragnar's hair, his clothes, his wife's clothes, you know, everything really is done, you know, extremely well.
I have to say, Ragnar's good looks holds up in high def. That's good to see.
Oh, yeah, definitely. He's still cute in the high def.
Oh, for sure.
Ragnar,
I was worried a little bit. I didn't think that, you know, he would translate from regular to high def.
Oh, I know. Like, he would have some weird blemish or something.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awful.
Know, he's got a zit or something, you know, like on his cheek. You can see it. It's just staring at you.
Anyway,
I didn't really have too much to say as far as, spoilers are concerned, because it's still early days in season one. So, I mean, some of the storylines are kind of being thrown out there, but it really hasn't cemented itself. But,
All right, then. So that's it for this episode of Wrath of the Northmen. Next episode, we'll be covering Vikings Season 1, Episode 3, Dispossessed. All right, we will talk to you then. I'm Em.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Paul.
This was a No Ship Network podcast brought to you by Esoteric Studios and Axolotl Tank Productions.